Why don't you behave just like other gals do? Why must my poor heart keep following you? Stay home and love me, my Liverpooloo. The sounds from the river keep telling me ever.
A song you might recognize there, but an artist or a singer that you might not recognize. That song is called Liverpooloo. It was one of John Lennon's favorite songs. In fact, so much so that Yoko Ono selected it as one of her 8 Desert Island Discs a few years back. What you might not know is that the man who you've heard singing it there is also the songwriter, a man who once clashed with Bob Dylan, but he's also a songwriter who was largely overshadowed even within his own family by some more slightly illustrious family members. Either way, it's 30 years this year since the man you've just heard singing there passed away. His name was Dominic Behan. He was one of Ireland's most prolific songwriters. His songs have provided chart-topping hits for English pop groups and so much more. They've even been parodied by Alan Partridge, which of course is a badge of honour that all of us would aspire to. But of course, with the surname Behan and being a brother of Brendan, he was long overshadowed within his own ranks and yet was still one of Ireland's most remarkable songwriters, and an event next weekend will honour and explore the singer and his life. And to tell us all about it, as always, is Donald Falling. Donald, afternoon. How are you?
It's good to be here. I woke up in Manchester this morning and here
and now
Dublin.
You're here. The sheer number of songs penned by Dominic Behan is remarkable.
It's an amazing story, Dominic Behan, and music industry legend has it that when this clash with Bob Dylan, which we'll get into later on, happened, Bob Dylan said, my lawyers can speak with your lawyers, to which Dominic Behan replied, I've got 2 lawyers and they're on the end of my wrists. So you know that says an awful lot about the character.
Even that is a line.
Of Dominic Behan. His repertoire of songs is endless, and you know it was one of them which brought about that legendary confrontation with Dylan. But it's highly likely that many listeners to this programme will have an LP in their family collection containing at least one song that he penned. I mean, he wrote some of the great Dubliner songs. He wrote Arkle, a brilliant song, celebrating the most remarkable Irish racehorse and his stunning victory over Millhouse. He wrote Come Out Your Black and Tans, which it seems everyone from the TV advertisers from Brady's Hams to Alan Partridge have had a go at in recent times. And it's just an endless collection of brilliant songs. Songs adored by John Lennon, songs he claimed were stolen by Bob Dylan. And as we say, this year is 30 years since his death, a relatively young man at the age of 60.
And it's in some way his story, you could argue, sort of wraps up or tells broader stories about the larger tales of Irish music throughout his lifetime as well.
It's impossible to talk about 20th century Irish folk music or 1960s pop music, because this was pop music, you know, without talking about Dominic Behan, instrumental to the Dubliners getting their break, worked with them as a producer in the early days, likewise at the centre of the emergence of Christy Moore producing his first album, Paddy on the Road. Christy put that album back out a few years ago for Record Store Day. It's a very rare LP. But Christy is a national institution now. You know, he was on the Late Late Show there with his special, and he's had his best of collections and everything else. But his story begins with Dominic Behan. And when I interviewed Christy Moore, he said that Dominic was pure Dublin to his very core. He mesmerised me with an enormous repertoire of songs, reflections and poetry. But like myself back then, he seldom put the cork back into the bottle. The sessions went on till the bitter end. There's a fundamental truth about Dominic and indeed some of his brothers in that.
What is it about all these lines that seldom putting the cork back into the bottle, or that my lawyers are at the end of my wrists? They're phenomenal lines. It's like if Morrissey wrote those, he'd be like heralded forever, you know. As we mentioned, it's a story that begins among slightly more famous siblings than himself.
Yeah, and to be the brother of Brendan Behan when you're a writer yourself, I imagine, is a blessing and a curse, and depends on what day of the week it is, you know. But the rivalry between a family of sibling writers can be an endless thing. Brian Behan, another brother, once came home and told the family, a play of mine is being translated into Japanese. And Brendan said, that's a good thing because no one else can understand it in English. So it was a very competitive household. Dominic, Brendan, Brian, you know, they were all at each other's throats. Born in the North Inner City, he spent his formative years in Dominic's formative years in Crumlin. The Behans were moved out to Crumlin from Russell Street. And he joked about Crumlin as this kind of jungle, you know, in his memoir. But still one of the great Dublin memoirs, actually, what he wrote. And it's hard for us now to imagine how transformative those places were in the 1930s. I mean, there's a lovely line from a local woman in Crumlin, Fiona Watchorn. She said, we'd never seen so many houses, all of the same shape and size, and wondered how the new kids could find their own. So the Behans were kind of transported, if you will, from Russell Street, the shadow of Croke Park, out into this new enormous Siberia or suburbia on the south side of Dublin.
That line about all the houses being the same shape and size, it's often the thing that I'm struck by whenever I go over to Manchester to get a football match, and you see like the massive rows and rows of council housing.
Yes.
Like the title sequence to Coronation Street, and you wonder how anyone could ever find their own way home.
And that's what's on the agenda now in British politics, is this house building promise. But in 1930s Ireland, it was very much the same here. It was build.
There was another member of the extended Behan clan, though, not carrying that surname, but who wrote the most famous Irish song of them all.
We all sing it all the time. Dominic's father, Stephen, was a veteran of the War of Independence. He took the Republican side in the Civil War. On the other side of the Civil War divide was Padraig Kearney, the uncle of the lads. And Padraig Kearney is the man who wrote the soldier's song, the national anthem. So if you come from the kind of stock that's producing, you know, the national anthem, that's quite extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I mean, the political atmosphere in which the Behan children were raised was very radical. The folklore has it that Brendan Behan actually first sees his father through the railings of prison. So this is a very intense political atmosphere to be growing up. But if the soldier's song or Our on the Behan runs in your veins, well, you have a good chance as a songwriter.
Yeah, it was the soldier's song as well. A lot of people don't realise that it was originally written into English and then only translated into Irish after the fact, that most of us wouldn't even know the English words these days, but they were the original lyrics. You mentioned the three brothers, particularly Brendan as well. They went to work together occasionally and it didn't work out too well.
It didn't, no. And if you're up in Crumlin, there's a plaque on the house in Kildare Road and it honours Brendan and Brendan only. It's literally a plaque of Brendan Behan's head and it makes no reference to the other members of the family who lived there. And, you know, in their early years, they got on somewhat. They had very different politics in some ways, Dominic and Brendan. I mean, Brendan was a nationalist, but he never really defined what he meant by it. And Dominic was, you know, very much on the left. And when they went to work in the 1940s on a building site, it's a great line, which we shall edit for the radio.
Yes, so we'll cover the ears of some younger listeners, but you can fire on ahead afterwards.
So Brendan and Dominic arrive in a building site and one foreman tells their father that they're the greatest pair of, you can imagine the word, I've ever come across. One wants the men to strike for an incentive bonus so that the other one can bring them down the pub to drink it. And that says a lot, you know, about this family. But his political activism was very real, you know, would land him in trouble in the 1950s. He was imprisoned for his involvement in an unemployed campaign. And it was a family rite of passage, to be honest, by that stage, for a Behan to go to prison. But he retained, I would say, sharper politics than Brendan throughout his life. And some of that comes across in his lyrics.
And speaking of his lyrics, one of the things that really marks him out, and we already mentioned the size of his back catalogue and the anthology of songs that he wrote, one of the things that stood to him particularly well was that he was actually able to write songs, not in a kind of a production line sense, but he was able to churn out quality very, very quickly.
And in the 60s, when the charts, that's happening a lot, you know, people are responding to events as they're happening, and that will get you right up the charts. If you're quick-witted, if you can be, you know, on top of the news, you'll do well. So he writes some brilliant songs. Arkle is the tribute to this. I consider him the greatest Irish racehorse. He was known simply as himself. You know, when Arkle came out, the crowd go, oh, there's himself. And he had this brilliant victory over a hotly tipped English horse called Milhouse. And it's very difficult, you know, for younger listeners to give them a sense how important Arkle was. He was a rare Irish sporting success story on the world stage. I mean, this Irish Times report is true, word for word. I think it's absolutely remarkable stuff. The Irish Times said he is emphatically the best. And more than this, he looks the best. He even looks as if he knows he's the best, not with the swagger and air of self-glory that characterises, say, Mr. Cassius Clay, but with the dignity, the look of supreme self-assurance that marks President Charles de Gaulle. That is written
about a horse.
So that is the level of national just adoration there is. And when Arkell has that great win, Dominic Behan is right on top of it, and he pens this brilliant song. And in a kind of long-standing Behan tradition, the final verse is sung in a kind of a faux British accent, justifying the failure on the day from a British perspective. They're at the last and over, Pat Taffa's more in hand. He's passing England's Millhouse, the finest in the land. My God, he has us beaten. What can we English say? The ground was wrong, the distance long, too early in the day.
Get over it, lads. He's lost. Just suck it up. Suck it up. We also mentioned Liverpool Lou, which we heard of a little bit a few minutes ago, which became like, obviously a Scouse anthem, very meaningful to the Beatles themselves, and translated into many other languages too.
Yeah, a great challenge would be to spend a few hours going around the pubs of Liverpool and not hear someone belt out Liverpool Lou. You know, it's a brilliant song, and it's a sweet song. It's a simple song, and I think that's at the heart of its success. It was a top 10 hit for the Scaffold, the Liverpool pop group. And Yoko Ono, as we said at the beginning, took it as one of her Desert Island discs. She said that John Lennon actually sung it to their child as a lullaby. Lennon was really scathing of a lot of the kind of folk revival in Ireland and England, and his review of it was brilliant. He said it's college students with pints of beer going, ha, nonny, nonny. You know, it did nothing for him, but a great time for Dominic. He just thought Dominic was this fascinating character. And Liverpool Lou really did the job. I mean, it was translated into, you knew you had a hit single on your hands when they were translating it into several European languages. Yes. That was the trend of the day.
Yeah, which was often the case for some Beatles songs as well. I have a recording at home of Come Give Me a Dino Hand, which is I Want to Hold Your Hand, which is like it's still very charming, but also kind of loses a little bit of the romance.
Of course, they're all written phonetically for acts who didn't have a word of German or French or whatever was thrown at them.
But the diction is quite good, actually, I have to say. The Republican songs, as we mentioned, are perhaps more widely known, and it's one of these that leads to the aforementioned clash with Bob Dylan.
Yeah, some of these are songs people think are a lot older than they are. So Come Out Your Black and Tans, the Patriot Game in particular.
You think Come Out Your Black and Tans is about a century old.
Yeah, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you just? And, you know, Behan actually accuses Bob Dylan of plagiarising that song, The Patriot Game, for his own great song, With God on Our Side. And there's legendary tensions. I mean, the documentary Don't Look Back, which tells the story of Bob Dylan on the road, he's asked by someone on tour in Britain, do you want to meet Dominic Behan? And he says, I don't want to hear nobody like Dominic Behan, man. That's his answer. So, like, the tension between these two legendary characters was very real. But, I mean, to be honest, often what Dominic Behan did is he took an old air, he took a kind of the genesis of something that was there, and he gave it new life. Dylan, I think, had been more influenced by the likes of the Clancy Brothers. They were enormous in the United States. They were playing the Greenwich Village scene where he was, the Ed Sullivan TV show. But Dominic, I think, quite liked the idea that Bob Dylan had run off at one of his tunes.
Who wouldn't? The Nobel laureate, Bob Dylan, as it now is.
Yes, I'd forgotten that. Yeah.
In some ways, they're probably drawing from the same font rather than one influencing the other. But we'll let that one lie in case the Behan lawyers come at us at the end of the wrist as well. It was a relatively short life. You mentioned he only lived till 60. But he got an awful lot of other titles under his belt as well as just being a songwriter.
I think when you're a Behan, making it to 60 was pretty good going, you know, and you look at Brendan Behan, who burnt out very young as well. But he did everything, a broadcaster, singer, you know, playwright across these islands, very popular in Britain, fundamentally important, as we say, to opening the door for emerging Irish acts, the Dubliners, Seamus Ennis, Margaret Barry, Luke Kelly, all of them, their stories cross over with him at one point or another. And when he died at just 60 years of age, I mean, drink, like in the case of Brendan, was sometimes a hindrance to achieving his best. But I love the obituary for him in the Irish Times. It says he was a funny man, garrulous, brilliant, infuriating, angry, lovable, but never boring. And there's just something in that, isn't there? Never boring.
Wow.
And next weekend, November 30th, there's an event in Liberty Hall planned to mark the 30-year anniversary. Singers Phelim Drew, the son of Ronnie Drew, who worked with Dominic and others, you know, bringing these songs back to life and putting them where they belong on the stage once more.
Fascinating, that one. November the 30th, which is next Saturday night, an event at Liberty Hall in Dublin. I'm sure if you have a quick look online, you'll be able to find some of the details about where you can get tickets for that one. Donald, as ever, thanks a million. Donald Fallon is an author and historian. He's the creator of the Come Here To Me blog and books, volumes 1 and 2 of which are available in all good bookshops now. And as of yesterday, Donald, is another new media agent for you?
Yeah, I've launched a podcast called Three Castles Burning after the city coat of arms. And the first one is up on iTunes now. It's on the Bachelor's Walk Massacre, 1914. But yeah, every 2 weeks or so, I hope, a new story on iTunes. So
give
it a listen.
You'll find that one on Apple Podcasts. I'm sure if you go to Donal's Twitter as well, @Fallon_Donal, you'll find all the links there. Donal, as ever, thank you very much.